Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Finance Show here on tiptv.co.uk. It is 10 a.m. or 10:01 a.m. on Wednesday, the 2nd of November. I'm joined now by my co-host, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, a man that I missed so much yesterday, I actually accused somebody else of being Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners.
I'm sure they were suitably flattered.
Well, it was quite an upgrade, actually.
Thank you so much.
For Alan Green. Certainly was.
Cool.
Okay, it looks as though the prediction of Baba Vanga that Barack Obama would be the last US president is shaping up quite nicely.
Well, it's possible. If you take the market swoon over recent days as a harbinger of doom, then yeah, we could have martial law. Very interested to see a letter penned by 370 economists last night, including many Nobel laureates, a warning of economic catastrophe should Trump be elected president.
I think a catastrophe if anybody listened to them.
Well, yeah, you'd have to say their track record in this regard is not that great. I mean, I would point out that even if Trump does edge it, and you know, even though he may win the popular vote, he's still got the Electoral College to work through, and that is certainly weighing against him. It's most unlikely that he will have control of Congress. It's very, very likely that the Democrats will seize the Senate, which will constrain anything that he wants to do, including building a wall, for instance.
What's wrong with building a wall?
I'm just saying it would
constrain him. Building a
wall
is probably the safest thing that he can do. You know, get some few people, out of the
building. You want spending on infrastructure, don't you?
Exactly. Right? We're doing that over here.
Exactly.
Better than Hinkley Point,
or
anyway.
Moat.
Right, let's have a look at we've got your side of the day, actually. This is wonderful.
Yes.
Overnight, Asia fell by the most in 7 weeks as a surge in Trump support drove a flight to safe haven assets. Gold climbed to a one-month high. Chris Benodi, that well-known hedge fund manager, said that UK stocks might fall by up to 80% as the country suffers both recession and high inflation due to Brexit. One wonders whether he's talking his own book, what's left of it.
Well, one might think so. I think he's down 43% year-to-date. But it's interesting, of course, because Chris Benodi was one of the most high-profile Brexiteers. So quite why he's now sounding the alarm bell. But he is right in as much as you have seen over the last 2 years. FTSE 100 earnings fall by almost 80% while the market's put on 30%. So some pretty challenging valuations out there, particularly if we don't see earnings growth from, say, the oil and resources sector coming to the rescue.
Well, given that Mr. Odie is down 43% or whatever it is, he's probably touting for new business and thought this was the way of doing it. Possibly a marketing ploy. I know the mentality. This morning we'll see a raft of October PMI data with manufacturing numbers from Spain, France, Germany and the Eurozone and the UK construction at 9:30 GMT. At 1800 GMT, the Fed rate decision policy expected to remain on hold, but statement likely to reiterate US economy still expected to support a December rate hike. Don't tell me they haven't put their clocks back.
They haven't. That's next week.
They should have done that well before the election.
Well, until we move to a single world government, it seems to be going in the other direction at the moment. I doubt that's going to happen.
Okay. Companies reporting earnings today include Lufthansa, Hugo Boss, Alibaba, where apparently there's a lot of shorting going on, Time Warner, 21st Century Fox, Marathon Oil, and Facebook, where we're expecting a 70% rise in profits. Who uses that?
Facebook.
It's not the 350 economists who've got nothing better to do.
I just think it's ridiculously narcissistic, and that's coming from me. So there you go.
Coming from a strategist, that is actually that's quite a comment.
Well, then I should be an authority on it, then, shouldn't I?
Yes, exactly. Yes. The next slide, we hope. Most popular in business and finance. Brexit vote will lead to a cut in disposable incomes in 2017. I thought we finished with all these scare stories and everything. According to a think tank, huge aftershock will push down GDP and lead to a recession. Predicts NISA. Can you remind me what they stand?
National Institute of Economic and Social Research.
Right. Were they pro Brexit before?
NISA.
Yes.
No.
Anything with letters in it tends not to be.
No, they're generally EDC. Perceived to be not affiliated with any particular ideology or political party, unlike some other think tanks.
Other than being Remain.
Well, that's the default position of most economists, yes.
Right. Weatherspoon's boss, who was an out-and-out Brexiteer, attacks EU leaders bullying on Brexit talks. J.D. Weatherspoon chairman Tim Martin said Angela Merkel, Françoise Hollande and Jean-Claude Juncker, who I thought we'd seen the last of, were putting pressure on firms to be hostile towards UK trading partners, according to The Guardian.
Yeah, all true, but again, no surprise. It's largely a political rather than an economic process, and you know, it's been run by politicians.
Okay, next slide comes from Barclays Capital Mining, LME Tour feedback. Happy days are here again. According to their research, we held our annual LME week bus tour on Monday, which we were not invited to, Mike.
It's like summer holiday or something.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Yes, yes, exactly. He probably would have done better than most of these people on that. But seeing the management of Antofagasta, First Quantum, Boliden, Glencore, Anglo-American, BHP Billiton and S32. Sounds like a lot of champagne corks would have been popping.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's nice to know where shareholders' cash flow is being deployed.
Yes, exactly. As one might imagine, the tone was pretty upbeat with positive commentary on the longevity of the current coal price surge, the potential for base metals and ongoing improvement in Chinese steel demand. Chinese PMIs overnight allow for further optimism. Balance sheets remain a focus, but with the admission that there may be enough cash now for asset facelifts and reintroduction growth of dividends. Wow. No sight of additional growth projects or M&A left the attendees relatively relaxed about misallocation of capital, which was going on.
That ship has sailed a long time ago.
You can always raise more money.
There's no money left.
Always raise more money anyway.
Oh, yeah, there's bored every minute.
Commentary from Nicole Elliott for the Trader at the Investors Chronicle. Yep. Automobile sales held up well in post-Brexit Britain and also during October in the US. At an annualised rate of 18.29 vehicles from 17.76 in September, and incentives dipped to 11.8 from a record 12.6%. Inventory at GM rose by 50,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's more solid data out from the US. You've seen a broad stabilisation in the manufacturing industry. Trade is no longer a drag on growth. Solid employment gains, obviously, is all leading up to the non-farm payrolls on Friday.
Next, we've got the economic calendar, ADB employment change, crude oil inventories, gasoline inventories, distillate inventory, the FOMC committee rate decision, and what's the second part? Lower bound? I've never heard of lower bound before.
Well, it's a range, isn't it? At the moment, the target range is between 0.25% and 0.5%. At the moment, I think the effective Fed funds rate is 0.41, so it's broadly in the middle.
Okay, going on to sentiment with our Andrew clients who seem to have hit the jackpot with the Trump rally in gold. I poo-pooed that stance. I thought that would never materialise in a positive way, but luckily or unluckily, due to the Donald doing so well, courtesy of the FBI, gold is going up.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that they're kind of hanging in there on cable, however.
Right, okay.
Like for punishment, mate.
Gold is our trade of the day. Outlook remains bearish on monthly chart, which shows repeated failure at descending trend line. MACD suggests loss of bullish momentum. Well, it is crunch time, I suppose. Mm. You could almost say that above $1,300, we would expect Trump to win, and below it, one would expect Trump to lose.
Well, it'll be double whammy, isn't it? Because if Trump came in, one might reasonably expect the Fed to dial back a December rate hike, although, of course, it's the one thing that they cannot refer to in tonight's statement.
Right, so but there could be the situation whereby, you know, the Trump comes in and they say, well, because of this volatile situation, all hell's broken loose.
They'll point to market volatility, because of Trump.
We're not going to raise rates.
Yeah.
We're going to lose our job any minute now.
Well, you've got plenty of forecasts out there from likes of Citi saying that we'll see S&P fall by something like 15% if Trump came in. So, and I... you know, if you look at the sort of expectations and the positioning in and around that index, you'd say, well, that's probably not unreasonable.
Right, so we have an objective of $1,250 and stops above $1,330 on gold. And on to the broker recommendations, which I picked out. So I want to go for Money Supermarket first, yeah, where it looks like they're going to have a record year on the basis of higher insurance sales, which is interesting that there's remains pricing power in insurance for in the retail area.
Yeah, and they seem to be quite energised by the new CEO from John Lewis Partnership, Mark Lewis, yep, coming in. So that's helped gain a few more fans.
Right, and then for the supermarkets, we've got all the Marmite Gate and other things like that. It's made it more difficult to fathom, isn't it?
Well, Tesco and the big four grocers have had a pretty good run thus far this year, but I mean, it crucially depends on them building or rebuilding margins. In the last trading statement from Tesco in September, they felt confident enough to give guidance on margins going 2 years out, 2018. That gave it a little kickoff. Now, we know that import prices are coming in. We know that Unilever asked for money. We don't know what the actual agreement was. I keep pointing this out to people. We know, for instance, that Morrison's hiked the price of Marmite by 12.5% last week. What are the odds that, you know, Tesco got a much better deal? Very, very little. The truth of the matter is that the grocers want to see food price inflation. They've suffered food price deflation for the last 2 years. The problem is how much of their input cost are they able to pass on and add a bit more? It's going to be quite tough because some of these hikes are quite large. And going back to the reduction in disposable income that Nisa referred to, I actually think that's real. That's going to happen because you're not going to see the offset with wage increases, for sure.
My message is don't buy it unless you really have to. Don't buy the Marmite. Don't buy the Bovril.
I don't like Marmite anyway, but, you know. Unilever has over 400 brands. The chances of somebody being able to avoid them all is quite low.
Okay. Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners. Thanks for opening the TIPDV Finance Show today. We will be back after the break.